Let's see what the stew has in store for us today.
Welcome to the Gnomecast, a Gnome Stew's tabletop gaming advice podcast. Here we talk with the other gnomes about gaming things to avoid becoming part of the stew, so I guess we'd better be good. This episode is brought to you by our awesome Patreon backers. Every single one of you who has ever backed Gnome Stew, we are so grateful for your support. Today, we have a whole bunch of gnomes talking about why we are out here giving gaming advice to celebrate our 200th episode of the Gnomecast. Yep, that's right. 200 episodes of the Gnomecast since it started in 2017. So let's get started.
All right, so this is Josh. There's a saying, those who can't do, teach. And that's the biggest load of condescending bullcrap I have ever heard in my life. Some of the best artists I've ever met, some of the best people I've ever known have all, in one way or another, been teachers. Whether they were a licensed school teacher, a professional mentor, a workshop leader, or just a friend explaining something new to me, these people sat on a dragon's hoard of specialized knowledge, but instead of keeping it all to themselves, they handed it out like it was Halloween and they had full-sized bars. And they did it for many reasons, but the two that stick with me are understanding and a desire to lift others up to their level. One time in college, I was lamenting my abysmal grasp on basic grammar, and my mentor, a wonderful guy by the name of Dr. David Swerdlow, he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, "Josh, no one understands how to use a comma until they have to teach it to someone else." That stuck with me much longer than the rules of commas and semicolons and all of that, because you never truly understand something until you have to teach it to someone else. And thankfully for everyone out there, I've never had to actually teach grammar. But that's what's great about this hobby. It's built on community, and in order to bring more people into it, we have to teach them how to play. And then every time we do that, we learn something new about the rules or the game, or if we're lucky, ourselves. And so that's why I'm a gnome, and why I love blabbering on about TTRPGs, either in text or on podcasts. It's to spread the love of the hobby, yes. To bring people into the community, definitely. All of that, very good. But also because I want to understand how stories work. Not just on a page or a screen, but in our brains. And more specifically, in that space that's conjured into existence, when one person says, "Wait till you hear this," and the other people in the room perk up and listen and say, "Ooh, tell me. Because in that story space, in there, we can connect with the people in our lives in ways that are straight up magical. And why wouldn't we want more magic in our lives? The best way to find that magic is to explain it to people. And the best way to understand it is to teach it.
I started doing gaming reviews accidentally without realizing what I was doing. I was pretty active on D&D fan sites like the Dragonlance Nexus and the Candlekeep forums, which was the Forgotten Realms fan site. I started to write posts about issues of Dragon Magazine and Dungeon Magazine and the latest setting neutral D&D 3rd edition content. And I would talk about how they could be adapted to the Forgotten Realms of Dragonlance and what ideas that you could take out of them. And because I spent so much time diving into these new Wizards of the Coast releases, I would have forum members ask me what I thought about those products. I didn't want to assume that if I said something was bad, everyone else would agree. I started explaining why I liked or disliked aspects of the rules and pointing out that if you put greater weight on some aspects of the rules or the setting versus others, you might disagree with me. But I wanted to talk through how I valued those things and what I was trying to say with the review that I was giving. I grew up watching Siskel and Ebert, and I loved At the Movies. And these were two professional film reviewers who didn't always agree on what was good or bad, but they would explain why they disagreed. And listening to reviewers for me was more about learning what other people valued and learning if I valued those same things. I wanted to ensure that I found positive and negative aspects in the things I was reviewing because I wanted to communicate what I valued to people. I wanted people to know that I wasn't telling them what to buy or not to buy. I was conversing with them about what I valued so they could see if they agreed with those same values. I wanted to provide something that they could measure against once they had an idea of who I was. I started posting my reviews of various RPG advice books on my blog, looking at books from people like this Gnome Stew blog that was out there. I was also looking at Mike Shea's books, and I was starting to really enjoy writing about role-playing games, not just writing about specific products, but writing about the idea of role-playing games. But I needed to spread out from RPG advice books because at the time, there just weren't that many around. I told myself that eventually I would just review everything that I bought in Humble Bundles and Bundles of Holding, and my dear friends, would you believe I have barely made a dent in them after doing steady reviews since 2016. Reviewing was meant to be my excuse for why I bought all those RPG bundles, and it's evolved into my excuse for why I'm buying brand new RPGs. Eventually, Chris, our co-conspirator on Thaco with Advantage, told me that Gnome Stew was looking for a steady reviewer, and introduced me to then-head Gnome John Arcadian. I was terrified. I had so much respect for Gnome Stew, and I didn't know if I was worthy to be on the site with people that I had respected for so long. I don't wonder if I'm meant to be at Gnome Stew anymore, not because of anything that I am doing, but because my fellow gnomes have made me part of the community. And I believe this is one of the most important things the RPG community can do, and that is to be a community. And in the end, that's why I do this.
Hey everybody, this is Gnome Matt Negley. I like to think of myself as the Gnome Shaman because of my role as Dice Whisperer, i.e. interpreting the will and discerning the inner nature of the capricious spirits of the dice. Which is just to say I've written dozens of articles about probability, how dice work, and tests of individual dice. I also like to think of myself as one of the gnome lore keepers, because I've been with the stew from day one, know where quite a few of the bodies are buried, and rarely shut up about it, probably much to the annoyance of all the other gnomes. I became a gnome in probably the most irritating way one could have become a gnome. Back in 2005, Martin Ralya, whose name I probably just butchered, I worked with the man for a decade in multiple capacities and never bothered to ask him how to pronounce his name, which, you know, is just me in a nutshell. Anyway, Martin started the blog treasuretables.org. By late 2005, Treasure Tables had a forum, and I became a regular commenter on both the blog and the forum. To be frank, I was an abrasive loudmouth. I had had some bad experiences in online communities, so I approached Treasure Tables specifically with the assumption that people were going to be toxic assholes to me, so I was going to be a preemptive toxic asshole first. This didn't get me banned. Don't ask me why. Instead, by early 2007, exactly no one had been an asshole to me. I had let my guard down and stopped being toxic, and because I was on a lot and Martin liked the things I had to say, I was promoted to moderator. Again, don't ask me why. You'd have to get that story from Martin. December 2007, Martin shut down the Treasure Tables blog. He had been posting daily for 2 years at that point, and he was burnt out on blogging. The regulars asked him to just take a hiatus and come back. We said, yeah, you just need a break, reduced posting schedule, some help, but he was certain he was done with blogging forever. That might have been the end of it, except that in an I told you so for the ages, 5 months later, Martin decided he couldn't stay away from blogging after all, but that he needed, wait for it, a decreased posting schedule and some help. So he rounded up the old crew from Treasure Tables and a few other friends and founded Gnome Stew. I, as a generally grumpy, middle-aged white dude with no real qualifications other than a couple decades playing RPGs and a year as a forum moderator, of course had very important TM things to say that would revolutionize the gaming industry, so I was in. Thus, probably the most irritating way one could have become a gnome. Many other gnomes since have come to the stew with an extensive experience blogging, multiple publishing credits, other honorifics. Me, I was quite literally a random asshole who had wandered into the right place at the right time. I didn't even yet have my stats degree with which I wrote all those articles that made me the Dice Whisperer. I would get that 4 years later in 2012. It turns out I wasn't completely wrong. I have made some minor contributions to the industry since. I did invent the 10 million-sided die. I did write the 9 forms of the 5-room dungeon, which caught on like wildfire and was extensively plagiarized. I was on the team that won multiple industry awards and co-wrote a couple best-selling RPG books. I did okay. I also started a flame war with the entire Star Wars fandom. I wrote a handful of strange mini-RPGs, and I wrote gnome-themed smut for charity. It has been a fun ride. This just leaves the question of why. Why did I start writing GMing advice, and why do I still write GMing advice? That's two different answers. I started because back in 2008, there weren't nearly as many sources of quality GMing advice as there are today. This meant that there was a lot of low-hanging fruit still to pluck, and that made me feel like what I was saying was relevant and useful. We talked a lot about creating evergreen content back in the day, and every time I point someone to a Gnome Stew article from the aughties or teens, it means we did that job well. A lot of what we cranked out wasn't necessarily revolutionary, but it was and continues to be a useful repository for GMs who need help or advice when running their games. Okay, but why do I write GMing advice now? Most of the time, I don't. After 200 plus articles, 16 years, most of the low-hanging fruit has been plucked, most of what I wanted to say has been said, and there's a wealth of information available from better minds than mine in a way that there wasn't back when I started. That means that when I crawl out of my gnome hole to write something, it's usually for a reason. Sometimes I've gotten my paws on a cool new set of dice or other product or tool that I want to fanboy about. Sometimes I want to revise an older article of mine. So it turns out better minds than mine have determined that with different construction rules, there are actually 21 forms of the five-room dungeon. Sometimes I get a bug in my ear from someone else's content or even real life, and I want to write a reply. All in all, it's been an interesting 16 years, mostly positive. I've made some friends and at least one frenemy, and worked on lots of interesting projects with great people. My blogging career is truly proof that no plan survives first contact with the players.
Hey folks, Ange here. So, why do I do this? This being giving role-playing game advice. The primary reason that I keep going is that I simply like talking about role-playing games. This is a hobby that has been a huge part of most of my life, and I get great joy talking about the various details and intricacies of how and why we do what we do. Honestly, if I didn't like talking about these things, I would have stopped long ago. I'm not somebody who keeps doing something I don't enjoy just because. One of the only things I love more than a good conversation about gaming is actually a good game. My inspiration and motivation, though, that's a slightly different subject. I've talked about this before in my articles and on podcasts, but I was a gamer for at least 15 years before I ever attempted to run a game. I started when I was a teen in late high school, played through college, early adulthood, and I firmly believed that there was no possible way that I could ever be a good enough GM to run a game. I couldn't possibly ever have the rules expertise to know enough to run the game. I also knew I didn't have the confidence to stand up to players trying to push me around if I wasn't sure about something, and I certainly saw a lot of that back in the day. There were players who would scheme and try and outsmart the GM. GMing felt like an impossible task that I could never hope to do. Thing is, at heart, I was still a storyteller. Since the early days of my childhood, playing pretend with my friends and making up stories about my Barbies, who had amazing adventures traveling through time, fighting monsters, by the way, I have always been deeply in love with storytelling. Running a game should have been an obvious choice, but it wasn't. I never thought I could possibly do it, and no one ever contradicted that belief. Some of those barriers were there because I was a woman, and we were a fairly rare sight as a GM back in the day. There were also barriers because of the more adversarial way that games used to be played. Some of it was also because there was gatekeeping happening regarding who could and could not run games. It wasn't until I met someone in the early 2000s who insisted I could make a good GM that I actually gave it a try. And believe you me, he pushed me for probably about 2 years before I actually did it. And it turns out, I was pretty good. I'm rarely ever going to be considered a rules expert, but even early on, I had a good sense of story beats, could adapt the game to my players' choices, and my pacing was solid. The rest of it was all learned through practice and continued learning. Once I became more confident, that whole loving to talk about gaming came into play, and eventually I ended up writing for Gnome Stew. I became inspired to write about RPGs because I want people to know that running games is something that everyone who wants to can do. Good GMs are not born, they're made from practice and always thinking about how to make your game better. The same can be said for the player side of thing too. I still prefer to play rather than run, and I love talking about how to be the best player you can be. There are definitely skills that players can develop too, to become the player at the table that everyone loves having there and the GMs always want in their games. I have been with Gnome Stew for a solid decade this year, and this is our 200th episode of the Gnomecast. I don't think I'm going anywhere anytime soon. Simply put, I do this because I want everyone to play their best game possible.
Hi, everybody. This is Phil Vecchione. I am one of the founding gnomes of Gnome Stew. I started all the way back when the blog was first created. I was there on the first day, posted my first article on the first day of the blog. In doing this section, was thinking about what brought me to Gnome Stew, as well as what inspired me to start talking about advice for RPGs. And that's kind of all tied up with like a little bit of history. Thought I might just tell you really quick a little story about how Gnome Stew came to be. If you're not following like all the way back to the OG days, you might not know where Gnome Stew came from. Little history lesson, and by way of that, how I got started. And then we'll talk a little bit about GMing advice in general. In the early 2000s, there were just blogs. People were putting up blogs all over the place. I had put up my own blog back in that day, blogging about whatever. It was really like what podcasts are now, blogs were back then. I don't even remember how I originally stumbled on it. I don't remember if it was in a forum or an RPG news site, but I found a blog called Treasure Tables, being done by this guy, Martin Ralia, who had committed to writing one article on system agnostic GMing advice every day. And as a person who played many, many role-playing games, I love agnostic GMing advice. I was also in the early 2000s very big into working on refining my own GMing. So I just became a regular on this blog. I would read it every day. I started commenting on it pretty regularly. And it was through that Martin contacted me and was like, hey, would you like to write a guest article for Treasure Tables? And I was like, sure, I would love to. I don't even feel remotely qualified to do so. But I think I had said something in a comment and Martin was like, oh, that would make a great topic for an article. So I wrote my very first article, and I'm pretty sure it's terrible. If you go back out and find it in the Treasure Table archives, I'm sure it's terrible. But it was exhilarating to have written an article and other people commented on it and saw it and things like that. And it was my first time writing or providing any kind of advice to a greater community. I loved it. loved it. So I continued on and just stayed on with Treasure Tables. And I might have done one more guest post, but I was pretty frequent. And I think at some point there was a forum put up for Treasure Tables, and I was a participant in that as well. And me and a number of other people, there were some regulars that were kind of hanging out, following Martin's advice on Treasure Tables and kind of commenting to each other. At the point Martin reached just over a year of doing Treasure Table articles, he posted that he was burning out. It was no surprise to any of us. If you do a blog post a day for a year at 360-something articles, you are going to burn out. And Martin did. And so he was like, I think I'm done with Treasure Tables. And he was, you know, talking about packing it up. And there were like a bunch of us that were, you know, all kind of connected in this like little Treasure Tables community kind of thing. We all kind of talked to Martin about it, like in different ways. Different people were like, hey, keep Treasure Tables around, but don't write all the articles. Have some other writers, you know, or only write once a week or once a month or something like that. You know, something to slow down the pace. But Martin was pretty sure that like Treasure Tables was done, like that he had a goal, mission complete. And then a few weeks later, I got an email saying, hey, I'm going to start a new GMing blog called Gnome Stew. Would you like to be one of the writers? And I was like, sure, I would absolutely love to do that. Who else is on board? And I saw the list, and it was all people that were all part of that Treasure Tables community, the commenters, people who wrote guest articles and things like that. Back in those days, we just organized it with like a big Gmail email thread, but we started having our discussions about getting the blog together. Martin was handling getting the site set up and artwork and all of that. He had named it Gnome Stew, and the rest of us were in charge of getting an article together because we were all going to do one article on the opening day so that the site opened with like 10 articles. And we did. My first article opened, which I'm slightly more proud of that article. I don't by no means think it's one of my best, but it was a good opening day. And from there, we just started putting out articles. And then from there, we wrote some books and all of that stuff. Going back to what I find most rewarding about writing for Gnome Stew, what I find most rewarding about GMing advice in particular is this. I am pretty old. I came from a time before the internet. I was role-playing before there was an internet, before there was an easy way to help other game masters become more proficient in their craft, and had to kind of just do it myself in those days. Like, there were some articles in Dragon Magazine. There were a couple of other people who GM'd that I knew in school, but I lived in a small town. I wasn't really connected to a greater gaming community. And so I just had to kind of brute force my way, for better or for worse, to become a GM. And then I discovered Robin's Laws of Good Game Mastering at about the same time that Treasure Tables was coming out. There was just this kind of burst of good article, like good discussion about how to be a better game master. At that point, I had been GMing for, I think, like 15 years or something. And I was excited to be able to help people make their GMing better so that they would have more fun playing games and running games. Because I was a GM at first, because no one else wanted to do it. But over the years, I learned to love GMing. And I thought, boy, wouldn't it be great if people could just learn to love GMing sooner by making it easier for people to get into GMing. And then later, being able to provide advice to help hone your craft, like getting into the nitty-gritty of fixing like one area here, one area there, that kind of thing. And so ultimately, the whole reason I do this, the whole reason I still write an article every month for Gnome Stew, why I've done hundreds of hours of podcasting on GMing advice, why I've written books about GMing advice is just that. I like to think that out there, somebody's game is just a little bit easier to run because of something I was able to shed some insight on or show how I do a thing and make those games better for those people. And that's why I'm here. That's why I'm doing it. And that's why I'll still be here writing articles and providing GMing advice.
Hello, my name is Tomás Jiménez Rioja, and I am one of the writers for the Gnome Stew. I am a game designer, writer, project manager, software engineer, several things, but what I am about to talk with you today is what my path that led me towards working for the Gnome Stew, one of the better places I had the chance to work at and write for. I did start working for the Gnome Stew on March 2021 with an article that I put quite a bit of time and effort into. This was Turn Your Infinite Bag into a Minigame. So for those kinds of games in which there are sort of bags of holdings or similar objects that is just an infinite bag that you can fit everything in there, I sort of started to understand that there could be something else to add to that. And that just putting everything you have in there without even thinking of it as a problem of how much space you can have was a bit boring. So there I created a minigame that is similar to the way Resident Evil 4 manages their inventory. So you put your the things that you grab, like Tetris pieces, within a block that is supposed to represent your bag of holding. That's how I got started with this. This was, in fact, a guest article that I did for the Gnome Stew, and after they saw my article and I asked them that I wanted to work with them, they gladly told me that I very much could do so, and I jumped right in. This was right after working for Tribality for about 2 years. So I had some experience writing articles, and since then I have been writing monthly articles for the Gnome Stew. I may miss one or other month, but mostly I do write about monsters, GM tips, and information in general, apart from reviews as well. One other thing is I started with TTRPG when I got to watch Stranger Things. So that was about 2016. I am not sure by this time. But that was what inspired me to, well, not inspired, but made me want to start playing games like Dungeons & Dragons, which was the what introduced me to the TTRPG world. As I got to play a 6-year campaign in D&D, I started to notice that there are some other games that are better and more suited for my playstyle. And that's how I got to jump to some other games. As you may have seen from my other articles in the Gnomes 2 and the several podcasts that I have participated in, the Gnomecast, like this one you're hearing at the moment, I am trying to discover and play as many TTRPG as possible because I like giving my players and myself the opportunity to try out the things created by indie creators and that usually are much better suited to what I like. What inspired me to start talking about advice in RPGs, just to go back to where I started with this all, was that when I was doing this 6-year campaign in D&D, I started to grab lots of information from all around the internet. There were the Matt Colville videos. At the time, there were the Matthew Mercer videos on Geek & Sundry on how to GM, as well as several articles here in the Gnomes 2 and Tribality and in many other places. So the moment I started to consider that I had a lot of really useful information and I want to filter what I thought was the best of it all and try to give back to the community, that's when I started to write these articles with information and GM tips. And that's how I got started. And well, because I really adore monsters in all sorts of games, I always bring a bit of that into my articles as well. What I find more rewarding about, I think that that's mostly seeing when people comment out that they tried the things that I gave tips about, or things that I created and gave out to them. For example, there is an article on the different factions that you have within the Forgotten Realms, and some different mechanics that you can add on top of that for your game to make the players want to scale within the factions and progress. Those give you unique rewards, and I have seen several people come back to me and say, hey, I have used this and it has made my game of Water the Dragon Heist, for example, so much better. Thank you for that. And that fills me with a lot of feeling that I did the right thing by sharing my knowledge. Yeah, that's mostly what I find more rewarding about this, as well as getting to participate more in the TTRPG space and seeing what more people are sharing and are creating for it. Once you start to really dig into this place, there are so many hidden jewels for you to find. So that has been mostly it. And I bid goodbye to you all, and I will be seeing you in the next article or Gnomes 2 podcast.
Hello there to the listeners out in Gnomes 2 land. JT Evans here on the hot mic. Time to rewind quite a few years, well, more than a decade ago to be honest. I got my online start writing articles and such in the RPG spheres with a review site called Ravenous RPG. It's now defunct, so don't go looking for it. However, on that site I reviewed RPG-related products and RPGs in general. I also closely followed around, 50 or so different RPG blogs and sites. I'd pick out a handful of articles each week that I thought were worthy of special attention and link to them. I'd also leave some commentary on my site along with the links. After doing that for a few years, I must have linked to dozens and dozens of Gnomes 2 articles with some commentary on those articles. Welp, I guess all that linking and chatting about Gnomes 2 caught someone's eye. John Arcadian, the head gnome at that time, reached out to me via Twitter in February of 2016 to invite me to join the Gnomes 2 team. Honestly, I was floored. I was being invited to join RPG luminaries like Phil and Walt and John, Ange, Chris, Matthew, Cinda, Troy, Walt, and so many more. I didn't feel like I deserved the honor and recognition to be worthy of Gnomes 2, to be honest. However, after a brief email-based conversation with John, he put my fears to rest with some very kind words. And by the way, yes, I still have those emails. I agreed to come on board, and my first article landed in March of 2016. It wasn't very good. It got roasted pretty badly. Probably worse than it deserved, but it did deserve a little heat. The unfair roasting comments have since been removed from the site, but the horrific article is still there on the site. I kind of like having it there so I can see how much I've grown and how much I've improved in the last 8+ years of writing for Gnome Stew. I learned my lesson about sizing and scoping my articles to get them relatively short, but still contain enough oomph to carry reader interest. This led me to improve my ability to give concise, accurate, actionable, and I hope entertaining RPG advice for all levels and all readers. Giving RPG advice is, in essence, a flavor of teaching. To be a good teacher in a topic, you must first know that topic very well. Expert level is nice to have. Mastery is even better. However, with the subjective and ever-evolving nature of RPGs, I don't know that mastery of all things RPGs will ever be possible. Given that, I do believe that mastery of subtopics and areas of the RPGosphere is certainly attainable. I do my best to become an expert in the area that I want to give advice on. Mastery? Well, I'll leave that judgment up to our wonderful readers and listeners out there in the world. One thing that I really love about the teaching and advising on Gnome Stew is that it ups my game because I have to become better at something in order to teach everybody out there in the world how to be better at something, and that benefits us all. As Phil says on most outros for Pandas Talking Games, we're doing this to help people to have fun at the table, either virtual or physical. The more fun people have, the longer they'll be in the hobby. The longer the people are in the hobby, the longer it'll last. Let's face it, at some point, all of us are no longer going to be sitting at the RPG table for some reason or another. Those reasons are wide and varied, and most of them are pretty morbid, so I'm not going to make a list. My personal motivation is to encourage and keep those folks who are less experienced than me to remain in the hobby. This will allow for some sort of disconnected legacy to continue to roll through the ages until the sun blows up into a red giant, consumes the earth in a final blast of glory, and we all go away. Who knows? Maybe we'll be living in stars by then and can continue playing games until the heat death of the universe. Oof. Well, on that horrific note about Earth's potential future, I do want to say, prior to all that going down, I hope to remain part of Gnome Stew for many, many years to come. I've enjoyed writing for our audience, and I hope that some of my words have resonated with you throughout the years. I have no intention of giving up gaming at all, and so long as I sling dice at the table and move minis about the battle grid, I'll be here sharing my nuggets of wisdom with all of you. And to conclude, I really want to thank everybody out there for being a listener, a reader, and a gamer. Keep it up.
So I'm Chris. I am the editor for the Gnomecast. I also sometimes write for the Stew. Not as much as Andrew'd like me to, but sometimes I write for the Stew. I'm in a bit of an advantage here because I get to hear all this stuff before I have to say anything, so I've heard everybody's comments. And because of that, I can go last if I want, which I am. It's weird to hear everybody talk and realize that I'm sort of in the middle of the gnomes when it comes to the gnomes that we have on the Stew these days. Arcadian brought me on, John Arcadian. You gotta love John, man. Great guy. He makes excellent mini stuff. His Tarrasque games are epic. And if you like that, the Book of Tarrasque, it's out there. Solid stuff. So I started this podcast, the Gnomecast, in 2016 after joining the Stew that year. I totally forgot that I did that, but I went and looked just to check. I will have to say that I think Ange is a much better host of the Gnomecast than I am. I'm glad that she took it over. I remember thinking it would be good for the gnomes to get together and talk about stuff so it wasn't just a bunch of folks writing articles alone, because these new gnomes, this is kind of at a transition time when Martin gave the Stew to John. It wasn't the same feeling. Those old gnomes, I call them old, they're not that old. I mean, Phil's a bit older than me and Walton and them. It's fine. They had the Treasure Tables community, though, and that brought them together. We didn't have that. We didn't have anything like that. I didn't know some of the people that were writing on the Stew at the time. So I suggested that maybe we should have a podcast. It'd be good for gnomes to get together and talk about this stuff. Plus, we'd give them an extra platform since podcasting was a thing that was up and coming. I'm glad that we did it. It's worked the way that I would hope that it would work. It gives the gnomes a chance to talk to each other. I think that's a lot of fun. And just very good about building that internal community with the gnomes. I mean, to that, I'm actually not much of a writer. I'm more of a podcaster. I like talking about this stuff. And if we are going to really get into it, my reasons for doing these things have changed over the years. Now, I started this in 2012, like podcasting in general, not this show, with Misdirected Mark. And that was at the dawn of podcasting. Like, well, I guess podcasting started in like 2006, 2007, but I've been listening to podcasts since that point in time. And I remember those old RPG podcasts like Fear the Boot, which I think is still around. I haven't listened to it in a while. The Bear Swarm with Rob Justice, the Happy Jacks RPG podcast. I mean, Ken and Robin is also from 2012, so they've been around for a while at this point. But I thought that after listening for like 4 or 5 years to these podcasts, I'm like, I could probably do that. And I love talking about these games. I've been doing it a bunch with a bunch of friends for a while. And I've been playing a bunch of different RPGs, like a bunch of indie stuff. I picked up a bunch of games from the Forge. I think the Forge had been defunct at this point, though. But all the games that came out of the Forge, like Dog Eat Dog and Apocalypse World's one of those games, the original Apocalypse World. The Paladin game, the Mormon Paladin game that I can't remember the name of it at the moment. That was another one from that period of time, another Vincent Baker game. But Sorcerer was from then, and what Houses of the Blooded, things like that. I like all this stuff. I've been reading a ton of it. Maybe I could apply some. I've been applying a lot of it to my fourth edition game, and before that, my third edition game of D&D. So when I started the Misdirected Mark podcast, it was bad. Like the first 10 episodes are pretty rough. I mean, I think the second episode was pretty terrible, and I got some comments, and so I started building a format for it, and then I started like putting it together, and it got better. I don't know if it was good, but it got better. And the shtick of the show was really like talking about indie games and techniques from those Forge era games and applying them to trad gameplay. If I'm being honest, that was really what I was kind of going for with that show. I didn't even realize it, but that's ended up being what it was. More importantly, though, I started interviewing game designers and learning about their games, their design philosophy, and GMing philosophies because of that, because game mechanics, in my opinion, are often just designers telling us how they think games should be run and played for whatever genre story constraint the game is about. There's my hot take, potentially, for the day. You can disagree or agree with me. I'm curious as to hear what you think about that. Anyways, this whole taking topics, breaking them down, and giving advice, for me, and in talking to these designers, was about exploring the art of GMing and how to get better at it. That's what I wanted to do. I still do that since March 2012. But why do I do it today? Like, it's one of the reasons. But like most things in life, there's no one reason. So like Ange, I'm a storyteller. I went to school for creative writing. I love telling stories. I love audiobooks. I love media, movies, TV shows, miniseries. Doesn't matter what kind of TV show, the Netflix formula where it's just one long continuous story over 8 episodes, the network television thing that's episodic in nature, like where you can just drop in, drop out, anything. I mean, I like long form storytelling for sure, but I love the art of storytelling, and role-playing games are just a very fascinating medium to tell stories. Like Josh and Phil and many of the other gnomes, I think teaching is a fantastic way to promote this hobby. And I love promoting the hobby. I think it's a great thing to do. I want people to play their best games, which means helping them have the most fun they can have at the table. It's another reason why I do this advice thing. And I'm sure a lot of the other gnomes feel this way, but didn't say it, and that's that whole getting better at GMing. I'm not sure what the other gnomes' reasons are for that, but for me, it's just part of who I am. There's no, like, external reason for it. I mean, storytelling, maybe. I could do something else to be an exceptional storyteller. I could have went and really studied writing novels. But for some reason, game mastering, I desire to be exceptional at this art form. Not for anyone else, not for external validation, just for me. Call it selfish, call it whatever you want. It's just inside me to want to be great at this. So I constantly ask myself the question all the time, what do I need to do to get better? How can I up my game? How can I be an exceptional game master? So I GM games, then I reflect and ponder how I can GM them better. Then I talk about it on podcasts, when I decide to write an article for The Stew, when I'm just sitting around talking with my friends. But I try to get those ideas out there so that I can figure out what other people think of them, internalize that, see if it worked, see if people are enjoying themselves, see if people think it's a bad idea, a good idea, why. And then I rinse and repeat. I just go and do that over and over and over again. I've been doing it that way for 15, 16 years now. Honestly, I'm sure I'm probably just Sisyphus here, Or maybe I'm walking down a never-ending road. But that's the thing about this art form. It's really about how we perceive ourselves. And of course, if people keep coming back to the table, without them, you can't really play games.
I want to thank all of our listeners that have been here with us through 200 episodes, or however many you've been listening. We've all said why we do what we do, but our audience is a big part of what keeps us going. Shouting into the void only gets you so far, after all. Thank you for being here with us on this journey. Good gaming, everyone.